Lord God, we do bow before you and worship you. Father, we thank you that we stand before one who is mighty and powerful. We thank you that your word is like a two-edged sword, which as it goes out, it pierces the heart and the marrow, the bone and the marrow. Father, we thank you that your word is powerful and speaks into people's lives. Father, we thank you that you give us your Spirit who works powerfully within us, like the same power as raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, Father, so I pray you'd help us this morning to behold our God. And Father, give us courage in the things you call us to do. And trust in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do be seated. Do be seated. Well, boys and girls, I and those among you, others among us, I received a letter this week. It's a really important letter. I don't know, the ones behind won't be able to see what's there, but what does it say at the top of it? Okay, Buckingham Palace, that's right, Buckingham Palace, this is good. I thought it would be, I thought I would read it to you this morning, because this is obviously really important. The Queen is in plea, oh, to Alwyn Barry, ah, that's good. Okay, I thought it was to the church, never mind, to Alwyn Barry. The Queen is pleased to invite you to dine with her at Windsor Castle. Wow. At 1:30 on Sunday the 5th of November. Okay, here's a problem. Maybe I can make it. I don't know. We'll see. I wonder how fast I can drive down the motorway. Anyway, we'll get this over and done with quickly. I'll get there. Okay. Present yourselves at the gatehouse to be conducted to the banquet room, dress code morning suit. I send you the Queen's best wishes and thanks for her willingness to dine with her. Annabel Whithind, Lady-in-Waiting. It is. See, it's there. It's true. It's true, really true. Right, now, so I've got a problem. My problem is it's Windsor. Who goes into London? Can I make Windsor in about 2.5 hours? I can just about do it, can I? That'll be fine. We can do that. Okay, we've got another problem here. What's my other problem? Go on. It's Sunday, that's true. It is Sunday, yes? I'm not dressed for it. Do you not think this is smart enough? No. Okay. Now we've obviously got some experts here. Okay. So I tell you what. I bought a load of stuff in the bag today, and I actually got some clothes in the bottom of the bag, which is really helpful. So I tell you what. We need a few people to advise me. Okay. We need some advice. Okay. We've got the front row there. We've got the. Okay. I'm always being dressed by a woman, I guess. So so we'll. Sorry. Okay. I should plan what I say, shouldn't I, really? Right, what about this? I think this is quite fetching, isn't it? It's bright. What do you reckon? Does that work? Well, I think it's so bright that she'll be really impressed by the colors and how info. No? What's wrong with it? Oh, it's O, apparently. So what's wrong with it? It's not a morning suit. Okay. It's not a morning suit. Okay. I know what. Okay. Let's turn this inside out. You know, she will respect the fact that I'm Irish and therefore do things differently. If I go along with this will work, won't it? You know, I show my national pride. Everybody loves an Irish supporter, don't they? Do you remember the World Cup? No. So what's wrong with it? It's not a morning suit. You said that before. Okay. We'll try. I know what. Okay. I have got in here. This is. It's kind of trendy to wear kind of a trendy fashion shirt. You know, maybe black. You know, was it Steve Jobs used to always come up in Apple and launch the new iPhone? He always wore a black shirt and jeans, didn't he? So black shirt and jeans. That looks more trendy, doesn't it? Do you think that will be acceptable? And you're not being very helpful this morning. No, why not? It's not a morning suit. Okay, it's not a morning suit. I tell you what, I've got a bit, because I haven't got a morning suit. You keep telling me this, but I haven't got one. So we've got a problem here. I tell you what, I'll try something else. I've got another idea. I came down in a big coat this morning. So maybe if I put this on, And I do it right up, so you can't see. Maybe my trousers look suitish enough that she'll think I've got a morning suit on. As long as I don't take my coat off the whole time, I'll be okay. What do you reckon? You're a hard crowd to please, aren't you? You really are. So what am I going to do then? I've got this incredible invitation, opportunity of a lifetime. You've got a suit for me. Remembrance Day suit. Oh, thank you ever so much. Yes. Wow, thank you. Look at that. See, I had to get Harry to do this because there's no way I would ever put a suit on next week if I didn't get someone to persuade me to do so. So there we are. Okay, what do you reckon? What do you reckon? Is that good enough? Sure. No, sir. Don't say, this is my best suit. Don't say no. This is a morning suit, is it not? This will have to do. Okay. I can, okay, no, someone says no. Obviously, I don't know what a morning suit is. So I should be able to go now. And you know, actually, I'm going to dump this down here. I have to confess to you, I've kind of been bending the truth a bit. It's amazing what you can do with Photoshop, isn't it? But there is a story a bit like that in the Bible. Sorry for those trying to track me on the camera. There's a story like that in the Bible. I'm not going to turn you to it now, but you'll find it in Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22, there's a king, and the king decides to throw a big banquet. And he decides to invite lots of people in. And so eventually he goes and he invites lots of the posh people in. They won't come. So he says to his servants, go into the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you can find. And what they had to do, the king told them, is they had to give them smart party suits. Because you see, these people, they're just around. They won't have the money. So you've got to dress them up to come into the banquet. And so off they went and they invited people. And eventually the banqueting hall was full. And it was full because there were lots of people there. And they all had these smart suits on. So they were there and they were ready to meet the king. But there was one person who tried to get in because he had heard that there was a banquet going, and he went along, and he tried to get in, but he wasn't dressed in a smart suit. He didn't have his morning suit with him. He had his Irish rugby shirt on, I'm sure, trying to get in. And they wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't let him in. Why was he there like that? Well, because he hadn't heard properly. Someone hadn't gone to him and given, or maybe he just decided that he would go in his own clothes, but whatever way, he wasn't allowed into that party. Now, see, this is really important because this morning, there's two things I want you to learn from this. First thing, is that Jesus calls each one of us to join his party. He wants us to be with him, he wants us to live with him, and he wants us to walk with him through our whole lives. But actually, when we try and do all the good stuff ourselves to get into his party, it's not enough because we've got so much bad stuff inside us. And so Jesus had to come, and he had to die for us. And Jesus offers us new life. And so, first of all, the first thing is, if you're here this morning, and you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I want to ask you, have you asked him to forgive you for your sins? And have you asked him to come and to be your Savior so you can join him? That's the first thing. You've got to be dressed in what Jesus has done for you. That's the first thing. But the second thing is this, is that these people were sent out. And they were sent out to invite people in to the king's party. And they were told to tell them that the king will give them this nice clothes to be dressed with. And just as Harry gave me my suit, which is brilliant, Jesus comes and he gives us his, what the Bible talks about is his robes of righteousness. In other words, all his goodness that we can put on in place of all the badness in our hearts and lives. And people have got to tell others about this. If no one tells anybody else, then no one will know, and we'll try and get in our own goodness and the own clothes that we've got. So here's two things. There's two things to learn this morning. First of all, have you come to know Jesus as your Savior? The second one is, if you have, are you going out to tell people about it? Now, how can you do that? Well, I've got a little exercise for you. This is where everything goes horribly wrong, okay? So, in front of you, well, the first thing that went horribly wrong is I ordered some bookmarks, which look, this is one that I had from a previous church. It looks something like that. And they haven't come. According to the British printers, We're supposed to print them in Britain. They're still in the Netherlands. Now, I don't know quite how that works out, but there we are. But they will be here next week. So what I've done is I've put a bit of paper in front of every single seat, or you should be sitting on one if you're in the balcony. And if you don't have one, there'll be some others close by. And I want you to get a pen. Now, if you don't have a pen, we have 100 pens scattered around the church, and we have some of our people to help. So if you don't have a pen, put your hand up. We'll get you a pen. Now, the younger people have not got a bit of paper at the moment, but I've got some here, Karen, if they want one. But I haven't got pens. Well, we've got some pens, I think. Okay. So if you haven't got a pen, put your hand up, and Phil and others, if you go and give pens out, if you've got a pen. Or if you have not got a pen, but you've got a phone with a note app on it, then you can write in your note app on your phone. And what I want you to do is to write down three people you can pray for. Pray that God will give you opportunities to speak to them about Jesus, that you would be those who are inviting others, just like the king sent out to invite. So three names, three people who you might want to speak to. And you're not asking that God will give you an opportunity to speak to today or tomorrow, but at some time, Jesus, give me an opportunity to speak to them, but I'm going to pray for them to come to know Jesus as their Savior. Well, we've got five things to tell you about this morning. First of all is pray. Okay, so you've written down three names, and I've encouraged you to pray for them, and we'll get these bookmarks to you so you can write them down there and keep them within your Bible or wherever you go to. I say within the Bible because I'm hoping you open your Bible every single day and therefore can use that in your prayer time. So I just want to tell you a little bit of a story about this particular bookmark. In here, I have names of folk that I met with in the previous church, and so because I wrote this 3 years ago, praying for them, and I changed them. I had originally had three names down here. I added two more names to them, and so there's two husbands of people who came to the church. There's one of the young people who came to our young people's group, who God particularly put in my heart, who's now actually moved on and moved to a different location as well. And there's two other people. And the names here, I've got to tell it because my daughter-in-law is sitting over there. The names I wrote down just after I met Emily were Emily's parents, Mervyn and Sarah. And, I've been praying. I was praying for Mervyn and Sarah from the day that I met Mervyn and Sarah. And the wonderful thing about it was Sarah started coming along to the church, mainly because of the way that Emily lived her life out before her. And she came along, and then so often she'd just chat to me about things. She was so impressed by how different the church was, about the lives of people within the church, started asking questions about that, not just of me, but of many others. And that video we showed earlier on is so appropriate here, because she asked so many different people, including people who weren't Christians, actually, about what all this meant. She didn't get the appropriate answers from some of those who weren't Christians, but were maybe very religious. She got some great answers, or snippets of answers from God's people. And I remember sitting at her, it was a party of a little girl in a previous church, and we were sitting leant against a shed on a summer's day, I think a summer's day, a spring day, was it? And she just asked question after question after question for about an hour while the kids played around us. And it was then she went and talked to a few other people, and she came to know the Lord. And so I have got one of my five who's come to know the Lord. And I know that God has put on my heart to continue to pray for the other ones. There's one there I'll talk about in just a minute as we get through. So please, take this seriously. We cannot see people come to know the Lord by our power. It's Jesus who raises people from the dead. And so we need to be prayerful people. Okay, so the first thing is pray. Second thing is to befriend. I'm sure we've probably got some overhead coming up, but to befriend, just to show you what's coming on. By the way, if you can't see me in the balcony, just kind of move to where you can see me, and then because we're going to be putting bits and pieces on the overheads. So we're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses. That's the reality, by the way. You will be witnesses. There's a brilliant book I read once which said, you are signposts. You're either signposts pointing away from Jesus or you're signposts pointing towards Jesus. It depends on how you're living your life for him. So you're all witnesses. And we're to be witnesses for Jesus, by the way, that we live our lives for him. And how do we do it? Well, we're told in Matthew 28 that all power will be given to us. All authority in heaven is given to Jesus, and he gives it to us, and he sends us out in his authority. But the big thing is that we've got to be obedient. And so he said to go and make disciples. But how often do we do that? We've got a little video which is going to play now. It's just 1 minute. Listen carefully to that video.
When I was a kid, we used to play this game called Simon Says. Right? Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when he tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? But they memorized it. You know, when I tell my daughter, hey Rach, go clean your room. She doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said? Talk about how much we know, but it's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I would start making disciples.
Makes a good point, doesn't it? Well, how do we do that? Well, we said pray. You can turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. And we're going to read to verse 14. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we do the befriending? Well, there's three things here which are very simple. Where does Jesus send them to? Well, verse 6, he sends them to the lost sheep of Israel. Why does he do that? Why does he send them to the lost sheep of Israel? Well, we read elsewhere that Jesus' time has not yet come. And later on, we discover that when some Greeks want to come to Jesus, he finally says his time has come. In other words, there is a time that's going to come when the gospel is going to go out from beyond the people of Israel. And so that time had not yet come. But there's another reason as well. You see, the people that Jesus was sending to were their people. You see, do you remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, go and you speak the gospel and you do it in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, you probably heard that as, you know, we start locally and then we go out a bit further to those who are slightly beyond them and then further. And you hear it in terms of distance. But actually, it's not just in terms of distance. It's also in terms of culture, isn't it? It's in terms of to those people who we know. So when they were going to Jerusalem, he was saying, go out to the people who are around you, folk who you know, folk who you meet day by day. Speak to them, first of all. Then when God gives you opportunity, you're going to go further to Judea, other folk who you know, but maybe are slightly more distant. And then as God gives opportunity to Samaria, across culture, to people beyond your culture, and of course, to the rest of the world, people who are totally outside your culture. And so he was saying, well, go to those people who you know and understand. So where do you start with? If we're going to actually speak the gospel, you start with people you know. Now, I'm going to, you've written down some people you know already on that that prayer, well, it would be a prayer card on your sheet of paper. And so they are the people you know. They're the people who you are close to. They're the people who you interact with in some way. And so who is God calling you to right now? He's calling to the people who you know. So where do you start? With those who you know. So we spend a lot of time, don't we, in churches, talking about going into the streets and doing street evangelism or, you know, going out on missions and doing missional evangelism. But actually, that's not where God tells us to start. He tells us just to start with our friends. In other words, the people who will actually speak to you. That's a good one, isn't it? Makes it much easier. So you start with the people who speak to you, people who you know, and people who are in your workplace. What do you say to them? Well, verse 7, the message is clear. The kingdom of God is near. And I'm going to talk more about the message in just a moment, so we're going to park that for a moment, so the what we'll come back to. How do you do it? Well, verse 11, skip down to verse 11. I'm going to rush through this, so we don't have time to go through in detail here. But verse 11, it says, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house. Now, this is probably a fairly good translation, but I do like the King James Version where it says, search for a man of peace. A man of peace. Now, in other words, somebody who is actually wanting to know and wanting to hear. Now, I want you to think about this. There will be some of those people whose names you've written down who will not want to know anything about the gospel at this point in time. They're just not ready for it because God's Spirit is not at work in them. There'll be others who maybe will ask you questions, what did you do on Sunday? Oh, I went to church. Oh, what was that about? And they'll listen to you. And maybe they won't go all the way, but they'll listen to you a bit. And so they're open to the gospel. There'll be some who are very open. You know, what do you do on Sunday? I went to church. Church? Why would you go to church? You explain to them, go, really? I want to know more. Can you tell me more about that? You know, why do you believe in Jesus? Or you might even get the occasions I've only had very rarely, but on a few times, well, a number of times in my life, where somebody actually says to me, how can I become a Christian? And you know, when someone does that, you're kind of going, oh, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. What do I say now? But it does happen. And so we're looking for those who God is working in. And so there'll be others. And what God does not call you to do is go and get your Bible and bash them over the head. What God does call you to do is to live consistently for him in front of them and just take the opportunities as they come. But what does he say? We go to the place where there's a man of peace. What do? You enter their home. You give it your greeting. And if the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. What do you do with those of your friends who want to know more about the gospel? You spend time with them. Not that you don't spend time with other friends, if you know what I mean, but you spend time with them. You chat to them, and you make most of the opportunities. And make opportunity. If somebody is saying, well, what happens in your church? Invite them along to church. That's a good thing to do. If someone wants what says, well, you know, why are you like that? Or why do you think that? If you're talking about something in your workplace and you're thinking differently from them, say, well, let's go for a cup of coffee. We'll have a chat about this. There's lots of ways in which you can find those opportunities to talk to the people who are the man and woman of peace. And so what do? Well, we befriend. That's what we're talking about. We're befriending people. Now, you might say, I have got no friends who are not Christians. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? And that's where we actually seek for opportunities to go and to speak to those who are Christians. So it might be that you have an evening free. If your evenings are so taken up with church, can I just say you need to drop at least one thing to get an evening free? If your evenings are taken up with church and television, drop the TV, okay? And go and join a sports club, go to a craft club, just talk to your neighbors, invite somebody in for a meal, you know, find something you're in, go to a rugby match together, whatever it is you're interested in. But find people. If you're at workplace, what I had did in Bath University was I discovered that everybody got together at coffee time. Now, when I was at UWE, nobody had a coffee break. You just kind of sat in your own room and made coffee for yourself. They were hugely antisocial. But in Bath University, there was a senior common room. You know, in these posh universities, you get those. And so everybody had a coffee break. And so I realized that was my opportunity to befriend. So I decided that every single day, no matter what happened, I would put down whatever I'm doing and go and meet other staff in the senior common room and have a coffee break. Why did I do that? Because it was an opportunity to broaden friendships. And why am I doing that? Because I want to speak about the Lord. I want to live for the Lord before them. So you need to think, what are your opportunities that God's giving you? It might be at the school gate, where you go a few minutes early, where you actually don't stand there looking, you know, like we do. We do this as British people, don't we? Yeah, it's like being in a lift, isn't it? You know, nobody looks at anybody else. You're stuck in a small confined space with five people and no one says a word. I can't believe it. But we can do that at the school gate, can't we? And yet, actually, other people will just chat. We'll just chat. We're not actually saying chat about the gospel. We're saying be friends. Make friends. Make genuine friendships. We love them for the sake of Christ. But we also love them because God loves them too. And so we befriend those. So there we are. First thing we've got to do is befriend. Now, I just want to to go back to this prayer card. One of the names down here was a guy called, and he was the husband of a lady in a church, in my previous church. I won't say her name because I don't want this necessarily to be picked up on the recording. I don't think he'll listen to it, but you never know. But this lady came along to the church. She had a non-Christian husband, and so there was very few people who had any contact. In fact, no one who were Christians had contact with her husband, very involved in a public school. And so I just got put... You know, God does this, doesn't he? He suddenly put something on your heart, put his name on my heart. So I wrote down his name there and started to pray. We were doing a fun day and happened for once to come along to the church fun day. He would never come along to church things. So I went to chat to him. He obviously figured out what I was trying to do. And basically, you know when someone's talking to you but they don't want to talk to you? Yeah, I got that signal very quickly. So I just said hello, introduced myself, lovely to meet you, and it didn't really go any further than that. The next time I saw him was actually at a community fun day we were doing. It's rather like the fireworks here. I just happened to bump into him at a community fun day, which is run by the local council, and he was there with the dog. He was wearing a rugby top. That's brilliant. I'm into rugby. Now, you might not be, but I am. And so I prayed about God, give me an opportunity to befriend. So we started talking rugby. He was wearing an English rugby top. I dissed the English team and told him I supported Ireland. It might not be the best entry strategy, but it worked. We got a conversation going. And suddenly, before long, we were talking about his kids and the family. And then, because he's a teacher, we were able to talk about education. I bumped into him again. And immediately, there was a relationship there. And it continued on. And I don't see him now. But I had an opportunity. He did ask one thing. He asked one thing of me, where I had an opportunity just to seed, sow the gospel seed in a little way. And I'm just praying that God uses that and other people over time to bring him to the Lord. So that's easy, isn't it? What I'm trying to do is show you it is not difficult. So pray, befriend, okay? That's number two. Okay. A third thing we've got to do is to tell your story. Tell your story. Now, this is the easy thing because we often think we've got to go out and we need to kind of have the story of the gospel neatly in our heads. And I'm going to show you how we do that in a minute. But before that, God has given you something which is very powerful, which is your story. Your story. How do you tell your story? Well, every one of us, if we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, has got a story. What does the story look like? Every story, in terms of our testimony of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, has a before we came to. We've probably got an overhead for this as well, Charlie, if you maybe have to skip forward past the video or something. It has a before. So what were we like before we came to know Jesus? Has a at the time, so what happened when we came to know Jesus? And has a after. Okay, so there's a before. What happened, and what happened after. There's three parts to it. So this is very easy, because then you can get to know your story. So for me, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. What happened before? I had a great family. My parents were Christians. They kept taking me to church every single Sunday. I resisted as much as I possibly could, as a child only can do, screaming all the way as I was being dragged across the car park into church at times. Other times, I bounced joyfully into church and enjoyed it. But I heard about Jesus time and time again, and I knew that my heart was wrong. Even though I was just a small child, I'd done many wrong things, and I knew I was not right before a holy God. But it didn't have any impact on me. Didn't have any impact on me at all. That's the before. What happens? One day, I don't know quite why, but I picked up a booklet called Journey into Life. You might have heard of it. And I started reading through that booklet. And I knew that I'd fallen short of the glory of God. But that booklet explained to me that I couldn't do anything about it myself, but Jesus had come and died for me. And I needed to put my trust in him. And so at that time, I knelt down and I prayed and I put my trust in him. I asked him to forgive me and to take my life and to use me for him. What happened afterwards? Well, there was no flash of lightning. There was no big bolt of lightning at that point. But what I did know in my heart is that I was forgiven. And I knew it for sure. And what I did see in my life is God start to change me and to work with me. He gave me a passion to read his word, even as a young child. And so I started reading his word. I saw those changes in my life. Even my mother could see the changes in me, which in a 10, 11-year-old kid is remarkable. But you could see those changes. And God's been with me all through the rest of my life. And he's walked with me, and I've been in relationship with him. And it's wonderful to know that I walk with a Savior, my Savior, every single day. That's my testimony. Okay, so there's a before, there's a what happened, and there's after. Every one of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior has a testimony. And so if somebody says, why are you different? Every one of us can very easily give a quick testimony. Now, people will only listen to you for about 2 minutes. Okay, we're in the internet age. You know, you flick to the next thing, click the next hyperlink. We go on. Let's listen to you for about 2 minutes. So it is good to have prepared a two-minute testimony. So you will find in front of you that bit of paper. Okay, you'll find that you've got a pen, hopefully. If you haven't, have we out of pens? Have we still got pens to distribute? I don't know. We'll see. So I want you to grab the bit of paper. I want you to grab a pen. Okay, and I want you just to write the before. You can do it in bullet points if you want, the what happened, and the afterwards. And if you're here this morning and you're going, I've suddenly realized I don't have a story to tell. I've suddenly realized I haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Just write down what you know he has told you about him and what you know you need to do. And so write it down. Write it down now, okay? I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. You can talk to one another. You can't copy the person next to you because it's your story. So you can't do what you do in the exam. Okay, while you're finishing doing that, keep on going. We've got a video which has got three testimonies of different people just to give you an idea of what they're saying. But hopefully you've got an idea of what to write down anyway. Let's play that video.
My name is Evan Yamada, and this is my story. God and church was nowhere near my life when I was growing up, and turned to other things and started in high school, and got into drugs and alcohol at a pretty young age, and that carried me all the way till college. Then I started to isolate and started thinking about suicide. Made about three different plans of how I was going to do it. I was all the way down to the bottom to where I was in my upstairs bathroom and so afraid of friends and my parents that were trying to help me.
My name is Tara Burns and this is my story. Growing up, we didn't live in like a Christian household. We weren't forced to read the Bible or go to summer camp or anything. My dad actually, his parents were from a Buddhist temple, and my mom went to Catholic school. So anything was kind of goes with religion. And I remember in college, I was talked to by two girls that were on my dorm floor, and they told me that if I didn't accept Jesus Christ right then and there, that they couldn't be friends with me and that I was going to hell. So I pretty much avoided Christian kids after that.
Hello, I'm Jack Rowell, and this is my story. It was probably 15 years ago. I was a pretty big partier, living in LA, and I was a believer, but I wasn't sure what I was a believer in. Then my niece passed away, and I was so mad at God and even doubted that there was a God if something like that could happen. And just quit drinking. Just put it down. I was tired of it. Thought this was going to fix my life, and it didn't. I was still searching.
I gave Christ my life, and Christ saved me from so much despair and so much agony, and has given me so much hope, and motivation and a reason to keep moving forward.
So after I was saved, became baptized, got involved with a small group, and I'm doing things to help me walk with Jesus and hopefully get other people to walk with him also.
In 2007, I was baptized by my fiance, and it was an amazing experience to look across the room and see people who truly love and care about you. I finally knew what was important in my life.
Okay, so you've probably written your story now. Here's the time to get to know somebody near you. Okay, so have a look and see if there's anybody you can trust near. And I want you to take 2 minutes to tell your story to somebody. If you really don't want to do that, just go, sorry, I can't, okay? And they'll find somebody else, or they'll sit there quietly beside you. But take the opportunity. Tell the person your story. Go on, 2 minutes, okay? Go, 2 minutes. Right, I'm going to interrupt you probably in the middle of a really interesting conversation. What we're going to do in the small groups this week is to follow up on this, and so you'll have a chance to practice a bit more there as well. Let me just read to you from Mark and chapter 5. Mark and chapter 5, Jesus has entered the town where there's a demon-possessed man. No one can go along the road because his life has been so ruined by sin and this evil force that lived within him. And Jesus came and delivered him from that. And it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus did not let him. Instead, he said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which is 10 towns, in the 10 towns where he was, his locality, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. We can tell our story, and there's so much opportunity that God will give us as we pray and seek that those opportunities. But our story is subjective. You know, in this world, people will go, well, yeah, that's okay for you, but, you know, I've got my own religious ways, I've got my own direction. So we need to, at some point, when God opens the door, to tell the story. And so we've got to get down. So, and this is, what I think, where most Christians struggle. How do I explain the gospel? Well, what I've done is you've got a pack of that you've been given when you came in. Some of you will have 3 bits of literature in. Some of you will have 2. I'll explain the reason for that in just a minute. But the one I want you to get out is this little black one. Okay, little black one. Now, the reason I've given you a little pack like that, I can't remember what I've done with mine. The reason I've given you a pack like that is it's a plastic wallet. We have already got some literature out in the foyer, but we will keep that literature topped up all the time so that you can come back, and if you give away a bit of literature, you can come and fill it up again. The reason it's a plastic wallet is you can shove it in your pocket, and then when you give one of these away, it won't be all dog ears, and so you can keep it in your pocket or in your coat or whatever you use each day, and just take it with you and look for opportunity. Can I also encourage you I've always done this, is to have a Bible with me. Now, what I don't mean is kind of a big tome, but a little nav, not navigators, not like talking about, to give out Gospels in the schools. Gideon's, that's right, a little Gideon Bible, and I've always carried one with me because it's pocket size and it's very useful. But maybe, you know, maybe you're thinking, well, I just don't understand the Bible enough. I wouldn't know where to turn people to. Here's a brilliant way to help you. It's very visual, And so what I want you to do, we don't have time this morning, but what I'd love you to do is to go and to make use of this, to practice on others. So maybe the victim that you picked to tell your story to, to arrange with them, go for a cup of coffee and kind of tell each other the story from this. It's got four pictures on it. It's called The 4 Points. And what you can do, there's a website as well that you can send them to called the4points.com, and they will be able to read a more in-depth explanation of this as well, if they want to get more. And because most people have got a phone or somewhere you can browse the web, it's a great way of doing it. And we actually, on previous church, put the details of this with our permission on our website. And we had one person who came to know the Lord because she came to the church once. She said to me, "Where can I find out more?" But she had to rush off. I said, "Have a look at our website, find the 4 points, read through it." She came back to me the week afterwards and said, "I did it. I prayed the prayer. I've become a Christian. God uses these things." Okay, so how do you do it? Here we go. First thing is God loves you. God loves you. Did you know that? God loves you deeply. And you might have done lots of things which are terrible in your life, things which you are utterly ashamed of, but God loves you deeply. And he wants to be in relationship with you. We think that God is far off, but actually God has come to us because he loves you. There's a problem though. What's the problem? The problem is that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. The X there is, we've seen it before, haven't we? If you've been at school and you get something wrong, your teacher does a big red. Apparently they can't use red anymore in school because that's discouraging or something. What color do they use? Green or something? Green for bad. Anyway, there's an X. It means that I've done wrong, and we've all done wrong. The Bible says that we've all done wrong and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, what you'll notice there, by the way, as I've referred to the Bible, I've learned a verse in my head. You don't need to do that. There are in the back of this some you see on the back side of each of these some verses which are pointed to there. So you don't need to remember them. So if you've really got a bad memory, don't worry. Don't let that stop you. But it is helpful if you can. So we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, God is so good and so holy that although he wants a relationship with us, we have turned our back on him and we can't be in that relationship. That's why you know that God feels far off. He feels distant from you because actually he is distant from you because of the sin in our lives. And we can try and do lots of good things, but you will also know that the bad things in your life will not just outweigh the good things, but they're just bad things. Who's going to get rid of those? You've done them. You can recall them so you know that you've done them. Who can wipe all that out? Well, there's good news. What's the good news? The good news is that Jesus came. And when he went to that cross and he hung on that cross, he was a perfect man, but God placed all of the wrong that you've done on him. And he died for you. The Bible says God sent his son, the just, the perfect one, for the unjust, the sinner like me, that he might bring us to God. What do you do about that? Well, actually, there's a decision to be made. You've got to make a decision. Someone can offer you a gift, but you've got to take the gift to receive it, haven't you? And so somebody has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's borne all the punishment for your sin, and he offers you the gift of eternal life. And you've got to decide, are you going to take that gift? How do you do that? Well, we do that simply by bowing your head and saying to God, "Yes, I have sinned, and I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me and cleanse me. And I want you to make me your child." And you can become a Christian too, right now. And maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you've gone all the way through that, and I've asked you to write a story, and you've got no story to write. That is true for you this morning, right now. And you could have been coming along here for years and years and years. People could look at you and think, "Yes, he's a Christian, or she's a Christian," but you've never actually done that. Can I ask you to make that decision this morning, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's how you tell the story. That's easy, isn't it? Well, actually, you might think, "Well, no, it's not." Well, that's great. Okay, now you've got the equipment. Okay, go and practice on somebody. I don't mean somebody out there. Somebody in the church. Go and pounce on them and go, "I want to tell the story. I'll tell you my story, then I'll tell you the story." And sometimes when you're speaking to somebody, maybe we don't go up to everybody and just tell them the whole gospel, because if God has not prepared their heart, they're not going to take it. It's going to bounce off. But if God has prepared the heart, then you might get all the way through this. But it might be that you only just get, if somebody says, "What's wrong? What's wrong with me? Why is God so distant?" You have to say, "Well, we're sinned. So we've fallen short. I don't want to know anymore." That's okay. You've started to tell the gospel. You've started to tell the gospel. It's that little bit which God is going to put together in his time to bring people to him. Does that all make sense? Brilliant. Okay, we're going to run a little video just to put it all together. 5 points. You might say, "I've only done four." Have a look at the video.
Hey, I'm Isaac from Indo. In the next 60 seconds, I'm going to give you 5 practical tools and reminders for sharing the gospel. You ready? All right. Number 1, pray. We often forget about the importance and necessity of prayer in evangelism. Get on your knees and pray for the lost. Number 2, befriend non-Christians. They're not scary. Don't worry. Just do it. But don't jump right into the gospel. Let them share with you their story and their journey, and enjoy the company. Then, number 3, share your story. Tell them about your authentic testimony of how God changed you and how he's still changing you. Don't exaggerate. Just say it as it is and try not to use too many Christian words. And don't forget to, 4, share all the essentials of the gospel. Don't emphasize or de-emphasize certain aspects based on the person. Talk about who God is, sin, Jesus, his death and resurrection, what that means for us, the Spirit's role in our lives, how we ought to respond daily, and the truth of eternity. And then, 5, pray again. After you share the gospel with someone, whether they received it well or not, pray. We forget the power of prayer all too often. And finally, as a reminder, it's not our job to save. Jesus is the Savior, not us. Our job is to let down our nets. In other words, spread the gospel. It's in our sharing of the gospel that the Spirit opens the ears and hearts of the lost. Now go, make some friends, and share the gospel.
So in this PAX, you'll have not just the 4 points. There's also 2 other things that some of you will have. Little Key to Life, that's something which you kind of would give away in the street. Somebody who maybe is just a little bit interested, and start just to get them interested in the gospel. So if you've told your story and they want to know a little bit more, that's a useful one to use. And then some of you, not all of you, have got 100 of these because they cost quite a lot more, but we'll get a lot more, so you can pick one up if you want one. If somebody actually says, "Yeah, I want to know how to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ," you've explained it. So, I often will say, "Well, take away something like this. Read it, have a think, come back and we'll talk again." And this explains the gospel in more detail. And then you can work your way through the booklet with them if you want to, or they might come back and actually all you've got to do is to pray with them, or maybe help them just to pray that prayer. So there's 3 bits of literature in there. There's other bits which are appropriate in other situations, but I say we've got to do that maybe in a bigger seminar to explain some more. Hopefully I've really encouraged you this morning. It's not that difficult. We don't have to say the whole gospel, but we do have to be constantly living and being prepared to speak the gospel when God wants us to do so.